Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. This week's NBA week. Well, we'll try to get rid of the burps before we start. Sorry about that. All NBA.
Very professional.
No point talking about weeks, but it was a week of sort of the 5th of December. But yeah, all NBA talk, studs and duds. And just sort of a little, I guess a couple of little things that, I mean, I've been etched at, and possibly you as well, Miles, of other things as well for the NBA season so far.
Yeah, I guess if you want to talk about the NBA season as a whole so far, or if you want to go through a few games to sort of kick things off.
No, we'll go through the games if you want.
Just sort of think, you know, that we had earlier in the week on the Tuesday, we had a rematch of the Western Conference, the semifinals with Toronto and Philadelphia. Yeah. The famous shot by Kawhi Leonard, where it bounced 42 times off the hoop and then went in.
Literally 42 times. It's like that ball just stopped time. It just stopped time,
and then it did. It bounced. I reckon it took 5 seconds to go on the hoop. It was insane. Anyway,
and then literally no other player could do anything about it. They all watched because you can't touch a ball.
Everyone just stood there and had to wait for it to either drop in or fall off. Unbelievable. But I just thought it was were there some little demons sort of coming back in that Joel Embiid went 0 for 11 from the field. The first time he's never made a field goal in his career. So, were there some demons happening there? Like, don't underestimate like what Toronto is actually doing so far this year. I think they are gigantically overachieving on what I think a lot of people have sort of come out and said what they could possibly be this year.
Well, it's 12-4.
They haven't lost at home. They're 9-0 at home. And they've only had 4 losses on the season. So what they're doing at the moment is incredible, I think.
And it's Pascal Siakam. It's like...
Well, I've heard people, could Pascal Siakam get the most improved player 2 years in a row? It's not out of the realm of possibility.
I think he's odds-on favourite. Because every single stat that he has is up. And, like, not even close. Like, it's not like they've increased slightly. They are massively up.
Yeah, that's right.
It's basically like Kawhi just said to him, okay, I won you the title. Here's the keys. You take the team, basically. Because... He has, he was always a good player, I suppose, and last year he started to prove that, but I didn't expect him to be at this level.
He was a little, during the playoffs, he was a little inconsistent. There was a few games, I think he might have even been getting against Philly too, where they sort of had to, Kawhi had to really take over some of those games late, because Siakam sort of wasn't quite getting the shots. But this year he's been super consistent, and I think that's the point. Yeah, the point of us sort of mentioning about Siakam that he's the numbers have increased dramatically, but it's also consistency as well.
So is Fred VanVleet. I think he's completely stepped up now.
He's getting more of a role now. He's basically starting. Mm-hmm. He's starting alongside Kyle Lowry. So.
Lowry's there too, so I think that's why he's had to step up. Like Lowry's had a few games that he wasn't in that game against Philly, so it was Nick Powell I think started that game with him. But yeah, you're I just like Fred VanVleet. Like I'd even say he has a case of being most improved this year because his stats
that's
are
true. His numbers extremely numbers are right up high. As well.
But yeah, you're right. That game that stood out to me was purely because of the big fat zero next to Joel Embiid's name.
Stephen A. had some choice words for him on First Take the next morning as well. So, Stephen A. just likes getting on his case because he's sort of like, you know, he's worked in Philadelphia before, you know, in print with the newspaper and in television media. So I think Philly holds a little bit of a special place in his heart, you know, work-wise, you know, professionally. We all know the misery that the New York Knicks put him through. That he voices that quite frequently. If you listen to, not so much, he sort of doesn't really do it as much on the TV side of it, like on First Take. But if you listen to his radio show, he quite a lot voices his displeasure for the New York Knicks, as you know, as a lot of people should. That's right. We had you know, earlier in the week as well, you know, sort of a meeting of some big teams, you know, the Clippers and the Dallas Mavericks. You know, Kawhi Leonard and PG sort of put up some decent numbers, 28 points for Leonard, 26 points for Paul George, and 21 from Sweet Lou off the bench. And they kept Doncic in check. Like, yeah, and to say he only had 22 points, but he was pretty inefficient. He was like 4 for 14 from the field. So, you know, I thought LA sort of, you know, stomped a little bit of dominance there, and that was in Dallas.
As good as Dallas are playing, and they are playing way better, obviously, because Doncic is playing better this year. They're gonna find, you know, like just from that game that I saw alone, they're gonna find it hard to beat those high octane, like those
The juggernauts of the West, like both teams from LA, you would have said at the start of the year, you would have said Utah, that they haven't looked as big as, you know, as dangerous as what they would probably like to. And also Denver as well. Like I sort of wanted to bring up, even though Denver's record is still okay, and I'm pretty sure they're still in the top four of the Western Conference. I'm just not really sort of liking what I'm sort of seeing out of Jokic this year. I don't really like the numbers he's putting up at the moment.
I mean, and this was a guy from last year was, top two, top three in the MVP race.
He would have been on some people's list.
And led his team to, which should have been the final. Well, you know, they should have been in the finals. They shouldn't have been beaten by Portland of last year. But they're coming third. They are 13-5, but it just doesn't seem as dominant as they were last year. It seems, and I think it is Jokic. Like you said, I think his numbers are down.
His averages this year are 16 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. Like that's you know, they're pretty ordinary numbers. Like, you know, for what he was doing last year, like he was putting up some pretty good numbers. But for those, and he's only shooting 24% from three. Like that's, you know, that's almost where you could stand there and let him shoot it. You know, if you're only shooting 24%. Whereas, I probably should have checked his numbers from last year, but you couldn't leave him open for three because he'd punish you.
I guess it's just on the Denver Nuggets. I guess it's disappointing in a way that the way they're playing because they didn't lose any players. I think they lost one player. I mean, not on the starting five or starting, let's say the starting ten. But they didn't. They kept that core sort of team there for that whole year, so nothing's really changed.
And they've essentially added Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah,
because he basically redshirted last year, so I don't know how they're going to integrate him into the offense as well. Like, I think that's the tough job there at the moment for Mike Malone.
But like you said, like they're not doing as bad purely because, you know, they're still 13-5 currently as we're talking right now. But I think they're a little disappointing, especially in the West. The other team, well, we were talking about, they seem to slightly getting better, but doing aren't doing great like they're supposed to was the Portland Trail Blazers.
Oh, and to say they've got in a little bit better, and I wouldn't like to say that it's all because of Carmelo Anthony, but
I'm not going to say that.
No, it's, I mean, but
he's playing well.
At least they've got another option.
Correct.
But yeah, I think they have probably been the biggest disappointment so far this year.
Yeah, I'd say so, because looking at the East, it's sort of, if you look through from 9 till 15, there was no one that really, you know, that's in that bottom sort of, I guess, bottom half of the Eastern Conference that really doesn't deserve to be there. Yeah, I would say Portland and maybe at the same time San Antonio Spurs, disappointment of the year.
Yeah, I guess you could sort of, yeah, you could say that with San Antonio as well, since they got their, you know, a couple of their young stars back, so to speak, you know, with DeJounte Murray coming back from injury. So, you know, trying to integrate, you know, once again, it's trying to integrate him into being the starting point guard there. So that's on Pop. So that's what they've essentially got to do. One of the more talked about games of the previous week as well was AD's return to New Orleans
on
the Thursday. Well, you know, wow. Yeah, he only chimed in with 41 points in that game, so it's
I mean lack of in terms of his the fan pleasure, so to speak.
Oh, yeah, no, they gave it to him the whole yeah. game.
Why wouldn't you?
It wasn't as loud as what the Knicks fans gave Kristaps Porzingis the whole game. Like, that was
ridiculous.
Crazy. That was crazy loud. Like, the whole time, there was a lot of KP sucks chants.
Which is, but that's the MSG. You heard a few
AD sucks chants, but a lot of it was just every time he touched the ball was just, yeah, mm-hmm. they were just booing the hell out of him. But like, yeah, like I said, you know, he only had, yeah, 41 points. So, you know, it sort of torched the Pels a little bit there. And the thing that sort of, the thing that disappointed me about that was New Orleans had that game not wrapped up, but they had that game well in hand up until the last 90 seconds of the third quarter, and then they just got blown out in the fourth.
As I say, they coming into that fourth quarter, they were looking really, really well, like really, really good.
But they'd had, I think it was an 8-2 or a 9-2 run to end the quarter, the Lakers did, and then they started. I'm pretty sure they started the quarter like 12-0, like a 12-0 run to start the quarter. Mm. And they ended up outscoring the Pels 35-21 in that fourth quarter. And it's, I mean, they had that game well in hand. It was a bit of a battle, really. It was a battle between Drew Holiday and Anthony Davis. Drew Holiday had one of his better games of the season, but it just come down to stops. Okay, if you're going to put a stop on Anthony Davis, oh, guess what? Yeah, there's this guy called LeBron James on that team. Who in the blue hell is going to stop him? So, what do you do? You know, when they want to turn it on, they can turn it on.
In the other aspect of it, in terms of, I guess, the players that went to the Pelicans, I think Brandon Ingram really stepped up with those 23 points and 10 rebounds, getting a double-double. He's doing really consistently well.
Like we talked about earlier,
in a losing
too, you know,
team, but
yeah, he's, well, that's right, you know, but in a, yeah, like we talked about, you know, sort of, was it a couple of weeks ago now where we sort of gave our way too early predictions on who would get what? Yeah, you know, Brandon Ingram is right up there for most improved player as well. Like he's nearly doubled his numbers from last year in LA.
And how? We won't sort of touch too much on it, but is it most improved, like, you know, with MVP, like, yes, it goes on stats and everything, but it also goes on how your team's doing. You know, if your team makes, if team wins 50 games, then they're not going to look at MVP, like, say, Doncic, like, and the Mavericks only win 40 games. They're not going to look at him because, you know, he's not the most valuable player because he hasn't got his team to a good position. does that same sort of concept work with the most improved player, or is it purely on stats alone?
MVP, yes. I think they sort of put an emphasis on your team's record.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't think that would factor in too much with most improved. Like I wouldn't think so. Like, yeah, like you said, you know, it's not as big a award as what, you know, as most valuable player of the league. It's the player in the situation that they're in and how much they've made that leap from being, you know, a good player to a great player, or, you know, from a, you know, solid role player to, you know, a really good starter. I wouldn't think that they would place too much emphasis on that. I guess we'll see, you know, if the Pels improve, if and when Zion decides to return. So,
see that happening this year? In your quick estimate, do you honestly see that happening this year?
I'm hearing things that well, you know, as recently as well, look, it's a couple of days ago, that he's doing walkthroughs and some spot shooting. Mm-hmm. So obviously they're being extremely cautious with him. If he doesn't come back by Christmas, or even if it sort of starts to bleed into the new year, and as much as it would sort of upset him, I just sit him. I wouldn't sort of worry about, okay, or if you sit him, then you're a shoo-in to get Rookie of the Year, blah, blah, blah. I don't think that would sort of, he would sort of go, yeah, that's a nice accolade to have. But
it's the long term
health of him. And, you know, it's to try and get the longevity out of him, not to get those, you know, those immediate, you know, like statistics or immediate accolades for him to be a great player. Like plenty of great players have gone out there and haven't won Rookie of the Year. Like it's yeah.
Look at Bill Simmons. He stayed out the whole year and still contended for the Rookie of the Year the next season. So
no, that's right. Yeah, Ben Simmons sat. Joel Embiid sat.
Yeah.
It's not their long-term health. And even the next year, Embiid only played like 50 games.
Yeah, I have no problem with it when at the end of the day, the team's heavily invested in someone, you know, and someone like him, he would be heavily invested. Plus, the fact of just his long-term health. He's probably while he's injured, he's probably, you know, some critics have come out and said, you know, he may be a little bit overweight. He's probably getting into shape too, for all we know.
No, but that's the thing. When you've got an knee injury as well, I guess it can be sort of hard to keep, you know, possibly to keep the weight off once he can get full range of motion and everything in, and he can do all exercises and stuff like that. It wouldn't take him long to trim down. You know, it depends on how much seafood gumbo and po' boys and things like that he's eaten while he's in New Orleans. So,
well, you're in the worst place for food.
Oh, well, I've heard a lot of people say that too. It's just like that could be another reason why he may balloon out a little bit because it's in New Orleans.
Yeah. Everything I've heard, the cuisine, southern food down there is ridiculous.
The cuisine is just, it's out of control down there. It is just like, it's unbelievable.
Oh, that's so good. I'll touch on the Rockets game later with James Harden, not because of the blow, but because of a lot of other things. Was there any other games you wanted to look at?
There was an interesting game that sort of happened over the weekend that was Indiana and Atlanta, and Trae Young just popping out 49 points and 8 triples, but Indiana ended up getting the win.
Yeah,
you know, and just quietly, Indiana's just quietly chugging along you know, with a really nice record there. But
really good considering you know, they have a certain decent player that they're missing. I don't think he'll be back this year. Right. But yeah, they're plugging. Yeah, you're right. They're plugging along. They love. I love them for the fact of there's no star player, so everybody's literally putting up the points. There's no, like, you know, there's no AD, there's no Trae Young, there's, you know what I mean? Like, there's no Harden. There's everybody's sharing the workload, so to speak.
No, that's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they've got a nice. There's a few teams around that have got a nice spread. Spread offense at the moment, and they're one of those teams as well. You know, I think Brogdon's a bit of a catalyst to that.
God, that was a good pickup.
Yeah. So, that's such a good pickup. I think I don't know. I think sort of Phoenix has cooled off a little bit.
Yeah, I'd say. From
their red hot start, I guess. You know, they had a loss earlier in the week to Phoenix, to Washington. In Washington, but just sort of jumping back to Atlanta for a minute, for a little bit. Did you think they were going to be this bad? I thought their record would be Charlotte's record right now. I think Charlotte's sort of way above expectations. I didn't think Atlanta were going to be this bad.
I you're right. I didn't think Charlotte is definitely overachieving to me. I never tipped Atlanta to be. I think that's pretty much where they're probably a little bit bad, but I think where they are at the moment is they're too inexperienced.
Oh, I get it. They're young.
You know,
their
average age on that team is 20. That is absolutely ridiculous. 21, I think it is.
Oh, I really didn't think that they would be this horrible. You know, you can pin your wagon to Trae Young, but
that was still a terrible idea. I'd pin the wagon at Doncic if we're talking drafts. But anyway,
yeah, no, exactly. But you know, it's not as if Trae Young's complete.
No. 28 points on average a year.
I'm sort of more thinking along the lines of they took Cam Reddish. Kind of high, and I really wanted the Pels to sort of take him just to be that sort of stretch guy. His statistics are awful. He's shooting both under 30% from the field and from three. Like, that's terrible.
Oh, where, for
a guy who's supposed to be a straight shooter.
Yeah. Where so you're saying if the Pelicans took him, who did they take in that high for a draft pick?
Well, it probably wouldn't have been Nickeil Alexander-Walker. I would think.
Yeah, true.
And he's been inconsistent, but it hasn't been anything like Cam Reddish has been. Cam Reddish has just been straight horrible.
If we're talking about those two teams, that just with the Charlotte, like, you're right, they're way above expectations, but. Oh, man, Devonte Graham, to me...
One of people wins, and they're in the playoffs.
Correct. I know they still say about Ja Morant, but the way they're playing, Devonte Graham, to me, is at the moment rookie of the year. That guy, there's no one was talking about Devonte Graham coming in. and he's, you know, no one was talking about Charlotte anyway, especially when... You know, they've got those horrible contracts, unfortunately. They signed Terry Rozier to a horrible contract, but they're making it work. Yep, they're making it work. PJ Washington, Devonte Graham, I just think, yeah, they're making it work, those two guys, which is absolutely ridiculous. I didn't think they would be this close, you know, you're right, well, half a game or a game into the to being in the playoff situation.
They're large contract guys. Nick Batum is coming off the bench. Another large contract guy, Marvin Williams, he's coming off the bench. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, who was like a top five pick for the Bobcats, when they were the Bobcats, and he's just non-existent. He's not even there. He's hurt. So it's just it's crazy.
I think if they can somehow, and look, if they don't, they don't. But if they can somehow push to that eighth position, And there's a few, like, all I'm getting at is a few of those big contracts are coming off, like you said, like Cody Zeller and a few other big ones. Although Cody Zeller's playing way better than I thought he would play this year. But they're going to have a lot of money to play with next season in the free agency. A lot of money.
Yeah, but that's the thing, that there's not to say that Charlotte can't get the big free agent, but it's
who wants to go there?
That's the problem. There's a lot of markets around at the moment, you know, that can't attract free agents. You know, whether it be location, you know, whether it be, you know, the prestige of the club. Have a look at the Knicks. Everybody has their suspicions, and a few players have come out and said why people won't go to the New York Knicks, but it's just there's just certain like Orlando, like, you know, I just plucked
the Wizards
team out of the air. Washington, that's right. Washington, teams that have been bad for a little while, and, you know, who the hell knows when John Wall's going to come back. And how he's going to come back. Not so much when, it's how he's going to come back. Bradley Beal has put his stamp on that team and basically has said, yeah, this is my team now. So Bradley Beal is, I think he's second, leading scorer of the league. So, you know, he's putting his mark on that team to say, this is my team now. And what's going to happen when John Wall comes back?
It's his team.
Averaging over 30 points a game, right?
Oh, yeah, no, you're right. It is his team, but he still hasn't signed that long-term contract. So is it his team because he wants it to be his team? Or because I don't see him signing a long-term contract.
It could be an audition for another team.
Oh man, who could take him? Because you're gonna need a lot of trade pieces, and just imagine, like, whoever he falls on, like, how good
him playing so well. Him playing so well is going to make it extremely hard for teams to trade for him. Oh, what was that sound? Oh, I don't know where that came from.
I think it starts with Jim. That's all I remember. Right. Him playing well makes it hard for him
to trade, because teams are going to go, hey, look, well, Washington's going to go, look at how this guy's playing. We want, you know, we want the farm. We want players. Which, okay, that's good. But if he's playing like trash, then yeah, that's, I mean, he's not, then they're obviously not going to get what they want. So now that he's the second leading scorer in the league, Washington's going to go, they're going to want a king's ransom for him.
Look how much the Oklahoma Thunder got for Paul George, who was coming off an injury. The boatload of picks they got for that.
Oh, well, that's so right. Yeah, they got
a really good rookie. Yeah. So, and they should, like, any play, any. The problem is, you're right, he's playing so good. Where the hell does he fit in? Which team does he fit into?
No, which contender can he really help out if they make a trade for him? Like, that's the thing. Like,
my contender, because of expiring contract and all that, it depends if Washington want to rebuild and he doesn't sign. My sneaky contender would have to be Toronto Raptors. If they match Kyle Lowry and him have the same $30 million contract, or, you know, thereabouts, with a few trade, you know, the few picks. Imagine if Beal, Siakam, and Van Vliet. Oh my God.
What about Philadelphia?
I thought of that, but who do they get rid of? Tobias Harris?
Well, you could probably package, you know, maybe if it's someone like, you wouldn't get rid of Harris. You'd package somebody like, you know, Josh Richardson, and some draft picks. You know, sort of go like for like. What about Milwaukee? You know, you could maybe trade Eric Bledsoe, throw in some draft picks. You know, somebody like a young kid like Sterling Brown or somebody like that comes off their bench. You know, they're not going to get absolute duds, but you know, Eric Bledsoe is playing pretty damn good this season. You know, it's regular season, Eric Bledsoe. So we'll see how it does coming into the playoffs, which is obviously a long time from now. But you know, Eric Bledsoe is having a more than solid season this year.
The only concern is that, and without having the figures in front of me, is how big these contracts are. So they're matching up of the contracts. These contracts
that's where the draft picks and all that sort of stuff start to come in. So, but the problem will be is when you're a team like Milwaukee, when you're a team like Philly, like Toronto, those draft picks aren't going to be very good.
How about we trade? We'll get rid of because he's still good. But let's trade Kuzma for Beal and 1,000 draft picks.
What 1,000 draft picks? The Lakers ain't got no 1,000 draft picks.
Mate, New Orleans has got them all. 1,000 second round draft picks.
we've got some of those as well.
Hey, Kuzma's not a bad pickup if they wanted him, really.
No, so, that's true. Yeah, but I don't know how that would have worked better last year before they got AD.
I don't think there's anybody looking down a list in the West that would be, maybe except Timberwolves. Timberwolves actually could be a sneaky one with Wiggins, maybe. But other than that, I think you're right. There's a lot of like Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Toronto. There's a few teams in the East. That's it. He might sign a long-term contract. It's all hearsay, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess so. Your boy Hachimura, he put up a 30 bomb on Monday, just gone.
I just like his name.
You love it.
Of course I do, because it's like the middle name of Steve Adams, Funaki.
Everybody loves Funaki. Just in regards to that game, like, you know, Washington put up 125 points in that game against the Clippers and lost by 25 points. Clippers put a 150 burger on them. As much as I sort of rag on the Pels for having, you know, one of the worst defenses going around, at least they haven't had 150 put on them. Good God.
150 burger.
150?
I think there was another game that was like that. I think there was someone got 154. I can't. And then someone from last week.
We sort of touched on with the Trae Young getting 49. Houston just absolutely dismantled Atlanta. It was 158 to 111. 158 in regulation. Like, come on.
Oh, that's yeah. That you're right. Like 100.
Well, that's the Harden six. That's the Harden 60 game.
Yeah.
In 31 minutes, that was quite efficient for James Harden. And then then D'Antoni benched him for the fourth.
What a killer. We'll talk about that later.
Two off his career high.
I just let him go mad.
Get 80.
Easily, or he would have got 80. Well, the way he was going, man, imagine if he got 90. Out of everybody, to me, he has the most genuine chance of getting Will Chamberlain's 100. Out of every player, I think he does.
Not so much 100, but he's definitely a challenger for Kobe Bryant.
If anyone's going to get it, it'll be him. It's 100 points. It's absolutely ridiculous. But
I don't see it being quite that far. Just in regards to getting the 100. But if he has a whirlwind game like he did, then that 81 by Kobe is in jeopardy.
Wilt the Steel Day.
What an unbelievable, we go a little bit of a tangent off there. Like, you're just, what an unbelievable player he was.
We were just going over some stats of Wilt Chamberlain. It's unbelievable. Like his average in a couple of years, we'll go over it now. So the average in a couple of years was 50.8 points and 22.2 rebounds per game. That was just a game against the 76ers. The guy, He wasn't. It's not like he wasn't playing against anybody. It wasn't easy for him, but the career stats was absolutely ridiculous. You know, this is a guy. This is going with, you know, Will Chamberlain was a player back in the 60s and 70s. But the stats are phenomenal. The stats, his regular season stats, 50.4. This is the biggest game, biggest year, 50.4 points and 25.7 rebounds. The guy finished after 14 years of playing basketball on 30.1 points and 22.9 rebounds, which is absolutely insane for any player. There's no player that I could think of now, and I don't think will ever do a double-double as a career average. He was untouchable, and I think, everyone loves Michael Jordan, and Michael Jordan probably still deserves to be the best player of all time, but I think with Will Chamberlain, and I think we've talked about it earlier, but him not having televised games probably hurted him, but yeah, man, I think he has to be one of the best, if not the best, because as you were saying before, the televised game, not having the televised games probably did hurt him, but it's, yeah.
Not so much that they weren't. That's I mean. There's just not as much exposure, to the NBA and things like that. Like, you know, even if you go back in the day for, you know, when we were sort of a little bit younger, they're just in this country. Like, it was all tape delay games and things like that, and live games just weren't a thing. You know, even up until the 90s. You know, NBA finals and stuff like that were tape delay, sort of deal. So, that's, I mean, there is footage. There is footage of him, but he just must have been just a different kind of beast.
This is a career stats before we move on. Yeah, well, we won't talk about those career stats. But anyway. Because they would blow these career stats out of the water.
You got some good stats there.
Before we move on, so this is career stats. Two-time NBA champ, NBA Finals MVP in 72, four times NBA Most Valuable Player, 13-time NBA All-Star, NBA All-Star MVP, seven-time All-NBA First Team, which is ridiculous, third All-NBA Second Team, second NBA Defensive First Team, seven times NBA scoring champion, and the one I find ridiculous, 11-time NBA rebounding champ.
Yeah, his rebounding numbers champion. I think that's the stat that the casual fan, like, that's crazy that he won 11 rebounding titles. Like, that's insane.
And he's got, and he's, I think, I mean, I don't have to go through other players, but he's, as far as I'm aware, he's the only player in history to have his jersey retired in three different teams, the Warriors, the 76ers, and the Lakers. So,
yeah,
it's right. You're right. I mean, there's a lot of things that probably did hurt him. You know, he was a lifelong bachelor, so little things like that might have hurt him. But, yeah, I know, but those little things could hurt you. I know there's a whole politics.
Back in the days, probably a little bit different. But that's the thing the one thing that's mind blowing to me is the 11 rebounding titles and the numbers that he was putting up in those rebounding titles. Like Dennis Rodman won seven on the trot, Dennis Rodman doesn't even have, you know, as a total over his career, 12,000 rebounds, and he was considered, you know, one of the best rebounders of a generation, and if not one of the best rebounders in NBA history. But the numbers, if you just look at pure numbers, they wouldn't suggest that. But you look at Wilt Chamberlain. We were discussing that his career average rebounding is over 20.
22.8 as career. So
that's just ridiculous. That over a career, you know, you can average 22 rebounds.
His career average is a double-double, but we're not talking about, like, 10 points and 10 rebounds. His career average double-double is 30-20. That is absolutely...
over a career. Like, that's just yeah, the numbers are unbelievable, and you just it's that's, I mean, he must have just been just a different dude. Yeah,
you know, we talk about centers being dominant, and I think the game's going away from centers being dominant, unfortunately, which is fine, but that's just the way.
He was only about 6'9", 6'10".
7'2".
Is he not? Maybe I'm thinking of Bill Russell. Sorry, I'm thinking of Bill Russell. I don't think Bill Russell was that tall, but he was an unbelievable rebounder as well.
Yeah, Bill Russell was, yeah. And that... You're right. A lot of those, like just before we move on, yeah, Bill Russell. You don't hear about the whole rebound. You know, little bits, obviously, but you don't hear about Bill Russell and rebounding. The rebounding is one of those ones. I love rebounding. Rebounding wins you games. Dirty work. But you don't hear about the dirty work. You're right. Like, yeah, for the size of Bill Russell, the height of Bill Russell, man. And same as Dennis Rodman pulling those boards down. Yeah, they were absolutely.
That's right. It's the cleanup job. Well, yeah. There was a couple of times in Rodman's career where he averaged over 18 a game, and you're just like, that's just a jaw dropping number. And then you're like, oh, okay, you know, just you know, Wilt just did one season average 25 or whatever. You know, that's you know, whatever. Oh, it's just
average.
He shouldn't be averaging those numbers.
He averaged 50 points in one season, but anyway.
50 points. You can't do that.
Why? Oh, you can't, but he can.
He can.
So moving on to some news. This will take a while, but we'll start with your news. My news is really one big topic, but we'll start if you got any sort of news you want to move on to.
Oh, I just sort of I think the Ja Morant injury kind of sucks. You know, he had back spasms. So he had them in a game against Indiana sort of earlier in the week. And as he progressed, he sort of played through them, and then they played Utah a couple of nights later and they end up getting worse and worse. So they've had to sit him. There's no real timetable for him to come back, which kind of stunts Memphis a little bit. I didn't think they were playing that bad. Obviously, the wins weren't quite on the board for them. But, you know, Morant was averaging 18.5 points a game, which is tops amongst rookies. So
I still think he's the favorite of rookies.
Oh, no, of course. If he doesn't miss too much time, if he only misses, you know, between... you know, 10 to 12 games, he's still a shoe-in for Rookie of the Year, I think.
I think so.
You know, you're just not hearing the chatter about RJ Barrett the same way that you are with Ja Morant.
No, like I don't know.
Like the big games, the highlights, things like that, they're just not being said, you know, about Morant. About RJ than what they are with Ja Morant. So I thought that was sort of a significant thing, which is quite, with, you know, this week has actually been kind of good for injuries. You know, there hasn't been really too many players that have gone down. Just sort of one little thing I thought was an interesting stat that was pulled out after Harden got his 60 in 31 minutes. Players in NBA history with more than 4 60-point games. Obviously, we have to go back to the past. Elgin Baylor and, yeah, this guy called Michael Jordan. I don't know if he was any good. They had 4. I vaguely remember him. James Harden now has 4 games of over 60 points in his NBA career. Mm-hmm. Kobe Bryant had 6. And the man we're just talking about, Wilt the Stilt, had 32. So, let that marinate for a little while. 32 games of over 60 points.
The one thing,
man,
it's just staggering in itself. The one thing, I guess, these are probably for casual fans. The one thing, just on Kobe, because obviously I'm a big Lakers fan, that he did get one of those 60-point games in his last game.
In his very last game.
Pretty, Which is pretty unheard of.
Against Utah.
This is very, very unheard of. For you know, these are players in their prime of their prime, at the end of their careers. But yeah, getting 81 or 83, I think he got 80. I think it was 81.
Kobe's career high is 81, but I think he got 60. I'd have to double check what he got in his last game.
Yeah,
it was. I think it was 61 or so, six something like that. His career high is 81.
Yeah.
Got that against Toronto.
It was a 60-pointer in the last one, yeah. But
Cat padding.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, my God. you're right. James will pass that easily, obviously. James will pass that this year.
He could pass it this year.
I think he will pass it this year. He
could pass it this year.
On the news you said about Ja Morant, like I said, he's still Rookie of the Year. I'm still finding it extremely hard, and this is a betting sort of side of it, that Zion Williamson is still... Yeah, well, hey, I'm sure people bet out there, but Zion Williamson is still sitting second in the market of Rookie of the Year.
I don't know who's putting money on it.
I don't know who...
He's already missed 20 games of the season already. So that means that the most that he could play is 60 odd games, and if they're gonna load, you know, everyone's favorite term, load management, if they're gonna load manage him, if he doesn't come back soon, like he might play less than half a season.
I fail to see how he. Look, if he plays this year, it'd be great. Obviously, for ratings alone, which we'll talk about in a second, it'll be great. But I fail to see how he's still second favorite. You know, he's going to have to put up massive numbers in order to, you know, to, I guess, be looked at as Rookie of the Year, which is kind of disappointing, but this is sort of where we're sitting at the moment.
It's just where we're at, you know, in regards to the rookies and everything this year. Like I said, you know, nobody's really putting up eyeball popping numbers or being, you know, insane. Except, you know, like you said, you know, Devontae Graham, you know, Ja Morant.
Devontae Graham, I think it needs a mention, but yeah, you're right. Ja Morant's still putting up very good, up until his injury, very good numbers.
I still think he's a shoo-in.
I think
to get it. I wouldn't think that he would. Yeah, anything other than him would get Rookie of the Year. So, like I said, yeah, with RJ Barrett, I just can't see it. Well, yeah, like we said, it was the. Everybody sort of cracked up a few years ago about Joel Embiid and the amount of games that he played. I think he played, did he play less than 50 games? Did he play like 46 games or something in the year? And everybody wanted him to play. Everybody wanted him to get Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
The person who with the least amount of games to win Rookie of the Year was Patrick Ewing. Like, he played 50 games in his rookie season and he got Rookie of the Year. I don't have the numbers off the top of my head. What you might be able to look it up real quick. What Joel Embiid played in his first season after he sat, you know, however many did he sit his first 2 years?
Yeah, I think so.
It was he had that chronic foot problem as he come out of Kansas, and he only played a handful of games. For them, he didn't even play the tournament. The NCAA tournament with them. And yeah, he still come out as a top three, you know, a top three pick. And yeah, there was a lot of conjecture around that Joel Embiid should be getting Rookie of the Year for that year, but he simply didn't play enough games. And I even think, you know, if you go along with the Patrick Ewing playing 50, I think that's borderline. There must have just been nobody else to give it to. He only played 50 games in that first season, and he gets Rookie of the Year. So,
31 as games as... he played.
How many, sorry?
Joel Embiid played 31 games.
I didn't think it was that low, but that's absolutely out of the question.
Yeah.
Absolutely out of the question that you play 31 games and you get Rookie of the Year. That's just not happening.
Although he averaged 22 points, but that's not the point. But he averaged 22 points.
31 games, like that's not enough. That's not enough of a not so much not enough of a sample size, but that's where it came back to. Like Patrick Ewing played 50 games and he got Rookie of the Year. So there's just no way that he was ever going to get it back then. So as long as Ja Morant doesn't miss too much time. And to say that, you know, if Zion does come back this year and he plays, I don't know, between 40 and 50 games, which the longer he's doing what he's doing, it just becomes a less and less a reality for him to be coming or for him to be playing this season. So I just don't see it.
Other big sort of news I wanted to talk about was, I guess, the NBA ratings this season. They look like they're down 20% so far this season. These are the TNT and ESPN ratings. TNT is down 23%.
The nationally televised games.
Which is ridiculous when you've got the four funniest people, four funniest NBA analysts. Analyzing every game, but anyway.
Oh my god! Like, how can you not watch inside? You know, can you not be watching inside the NBA? Like, just
the and best. ESPN down 20%. So, I guess I have a theory, and Mark Cuban's just come out and talked about it. So, I guess I have a theory for, and you brought up one team, but I guess I have a theory is that, you know, a lot of these games, the ESPN and TNT, I guess, buy or. You know, they have to advertise early, and that would have been the Warriors and, as you said, the Pelicans because of Zion Williamson. Right. No Zion Williamson, no Steph Curry, no Klay Thompson, and when he's really there, no... oh, my God, I've lost his name. No Draymond.
Draymond's been in and out, but as advertised, like, everybody, that they would have known there was going to be no Klay Thompson this year. Like, there would have been under no illusions that Klay Thompson would have been anywhere close to being, you know, ready to go this season. It's the Steph Curry factor.
I think it is the Steph Curry factor, I think it's the Zion factor. I know he hasn't played yet, but I think everybody wanted to see him.
No, of course
everybody.
I want to see him now.
Of course,
I've got to be patient. And everybody's got to be patient because they don't on a tangent a little bit, they don't want to make the same mistakes as a front office and as an organization there in New Orleans to essentially run, you know, that at the end of their tenure, they ran AD out of town because he just got sick of losing. That can't happen with Zion. They have to be able to put his long-term health, you know, in perspective and do what they've got to do. You know, they've got to build around him.
So Mark Cuban, the reason he's come out and said that he thinks the ratings are down purely because all the national broadcasts are exclusively available on cable, whereas, like, the football there is on broadcast TV, which is available on every digital and every traditional package that you'll be able to get.
That's where the NBA makes so much money too.
Well, that's right. And to my knowledge, I think it's a bit of a cop out considering I think they've always been, you know, available on cable. You get the finals on ABC. You know, like, this is a ABC in America. The ABC's the finals are always on ABC. They have been for the past 5 years, and they you know, that's a nationally broadcast game, but.
No,
you're right.
Well, ABC will take over as the new year starts to come along, and they don't have to have competition with college football and the NFL. So, you know, those publicly broadcast games on ABC will come in, you know, once the new year sort of kicks off. You know, you always have those early afternoon Sunday afternoon games, which are a feature. As the NBA season goes along, like, there's just no competition this time of year. Like, that, I think a lot of sports sort of do that. They just don't like going up against against college football and the NFL because they're just an absolute juggernaut. So there's no point in trying to compete with them. So the NBA just plugs along like they do. There was no NBA games on Thanksgiving, yet there was three NFL games.
Yeah, and so, it makes a massive difference because NFL still is the linchpin in America as far as I'm concerned.
It's an absolute juggernaut because every game means something, and that's the sort of stigma that's going around the NBA at the moment, is that regular season doesn't mean anything, and let's just hurry up and get to the playoffs and blah blah blah. It's just like, I think we might have even discussed it the week before. I'm sure teams put emphasis on these early games because if you start dropping these early games, it only puts pressure on you at the end of the season. But, the casual fan and even team fans, I don't know why they don't see it like that. It's a marathon, it's not a sprint.
That's exactly right. The season is incredibly long. I think that the three things that I think to me were, star players are out. Like you said, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, He's the draw card, I thought. So he's out.
Look at Kyrie Irving. How many games has Kyrie Irving missed this year as well?
Correct. The few of the teams, like the Warriors and that, they always were ratings bonanza, the NFL. And the two other things I could think about, like, as terrible as it sounds to say, because I hate the word, but the load management. Everyone wanted to see Kawhi Leonard. And he doesn't like, going from what reports are saying, he doesn't like playing those nationally televised games. He missed the first two. That's only the Clippers have been televised for.
And that's all well and good, but you sort of bring that back into it. It's just like you're a superstar. You're a superstar of the game. Like you can't just knock back these and cost these nationally televised games numbers and ratings and people and money, and then still expect you to have a gigantic contract. Like, that's where the money comes from.
Correct.
Like, it's just pure and simple. That's where the money comes from. And I wouldn't underestimate the Chinese population.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
Not tuning in as well.
Yep.
That is my last point. Because of happened in that preseason with Daryl Morey and all that, I think the third point of that is that The Chinese public are a massive, and I mean, there's billions and billions and billions of people there. I think they've lost a lot of viewership from that.
I think so. Not that you want to get into politics or anything, but it's just the politics and propaganda of their country. If something, sort of goes up against their government or anything, then they're going to be, then that's right. The government tells them, hey, you should not like the NBA, and the people like lemmings go, okay, that's me. I don't want to get super political about it, but that's just the general gist of it. And they can just completely cut you out of the market. They weren't televising those preseason games. I'm not 100% sure what's happening in the country right now. Are they televising these big games that are on TNT and ESPN? People have obviously, if they want to have league pass, that's all well and good. But the people that rely on ESPN and TNT to get their NBA fill, has that been completely cut off over there? I don't know. Without a deeper dive into it.
No, yeah, that was my third point. I think it has to play a part. There's no doubt it has to play a part.
It's the largest economy in the world.
It's the largest economy in the world. Unfortunately, the general manager that came out and said something was, unfortunately, from Houston Rockets. And the reason I say unfortunately, because the most famous Chinese export was Yao Ming.
It was Yao Ming.
And he's Chinese. So, he could come out, as far as we don't know, but he could come on Chinese TV and say, don't watch the NBA. They don't support Chinese ways, so, don't watch it, basically. And that's going to hurt the casual, hurt the NBA in terms of getting the casual fans.
Don't underestimate that market. The Chinese absolutely love the NBA, and that's why they take so many preseason games over there, so they can get their fill of of games, even though they're preseason games, but you know, get their NBA fix, you know, live and in the flesh.
Yeah, I totally agree, 100%. I think that's the other part of it.
And what happens next year? Are they going to be invited back? Are they going to
come to Australia? Look, yeah, exactly.
I'm totally fine with them just going. Look, just maybe a couple more hours and play down here. Like we've got big arenas they can play in. They'll sell out here.
Adam Silver's come out and said we are the second biggest NBA League Pass country in the world. Second biggest NBA League Pass country. Yes, we are the second biggest NBA League Pass country in the world. Adam Silver's come out and said that, so we must be somehow obviously the numbers don't.
Adam Silver, if you're listening to this, good God.
I don't know. Yeah, I thought it was crazy too. But he said we are the second. Australia's big because we, and this is when the whole US team came down here. He said they are the second biggest.
Well, that might have generated
biggest,
a lot more interest as well.
We're the second biggest NBA league pass, obviously behind China, but we'll see how that goes later.
Well, that's right. But that's what I mean. Like, you know, that there would be, you know, if they brought, say, six teams here, then they went to Sydney, played Kudos Bank, there at Homebush, you know, what do they get, 20,000 people? They'd fill it. You could probably play at either Rod Laver or Hisense in Melbourne. You'd fill it. Of course you'd fill it.
Well, look at let's say, not going off at a tangent, we should move on to studs and duds soon, but look at the pre-season of football, as in soccer football. Man United, all the massive teams come down to Australia because they're massive, massive draw cards here, and they generate millions of dollars. The governments will pay for it. They do pay for these teams to come down, so the governments will pay for it.
The thing is, it'll be fresh in everyone's mind, too, with LaMelo Ball. And what he's doing over here at the moment, which is just some amazing stuff.
I'll touch on that guy next week.
That's just some amazing stuff that he's doing. And Americans are watching. They're not watching the NBL. They're obviously watching the Illawarra Hawks. But that's exposure to Australian basketball, and that's not just them watching the Illawarra Hawks. It's the teams who they're playing as well. So, you know, if we're putting out a good quality product, then why wouldn't they want to come here? Obviously, they've got to bring teams with Australian players on it, you know. So they bring Aaron Baines and you know, obviously the Utah Jazz would be big, you know, with Dante Exum and Joe Ingles being on the same 76ers. Team. But yeah, the Philadelphia 76ers, Phoenix Suns, San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, you're right. You don't have to get your LA teams and all that because you know you wouldn't expect them to come.
That's right. You bring the brands here, but you bring the teams that have got Aussies on there. So there's that relationship.
So the studs and duds of the week, just finishing up. Do you have a... Well, we'll start with the studs of the week.
I think Giannis, for me, I think he's just going from strength to strength at the moment. And as much as that's a bit of a cop-out and you could... he's having an insane season, and there's the possibility that he could go back to back league MVPs. You know, he had a 50 pointer this this week. You know, and as much as James Harden had a 60 pointer this week, what have they won in a row now? Like 11 or 12? Like they're just
you're right. So they. I guess speaking of them, they have won 13 in a row.
13 on the trot. Like, that's crazy.
As of, you know, the Thursday, the 5th of December, they've won 13 in a row. And it's him. There's no possible way. If he's not there, they're down. But what I'm saying is if he's not there, this is where an MVP comes into it. They are winning because he's there. There is not one player on – he's to me the one player that on any team that if he's there they win. If he's not there they don't win. That's what I'm getting at. It's absolutely ridiculous how good he is. Absolutely.
It's pure and simple.
Well, speaking of Harden, the only reason I put my Harden as my start of the week was because it was 60 points in three quarters. You brought up the stats about with you know about how many 60 points games he's got, and he's got four. But you know, just 31 minutes to get 61 points, which it was absolutely efficient.
An efficient 60 points, which you know this year hasn't. You know, efficiency and James Harden haven't really come in the same sentence too often.
He's getting to the hoop more, which I like. He's getting to the hoop a lot more, which is not usually, you know, I don't want to say it's not his game, but like he's a three-point master, but he's just getting to the hoop more.
He hasn't really been this season. Yeah, his three-point percentage is way down. But yeah. I think that's, yeah, but that's his game. He doesn't really have that mid-range game. It's a three-point base game. It's driving to the cup, driving kick, driving get to the hoop, driving, you know, driving and put a floater up. Like that's, or drive and put an alley-oop up for Clint Capella. You know, that's the James Harden model. And oh, sorry, and dribble 60 times per possession.
60 times per possession. My
he just rocks you to sleep.
My dud of the week, and it's not against a player, but my dud of the week is against whoever hands out these NBA players of the week for the conferences. Giving as well as Carmelo's played last week, he got the Western Conference Player of the Week. He didn't deserve it over James Harden and Luka Doncic. The way they played last week. He did have a good week. He averaged 22.3 points and 7 rebounds, but you know Harden averaged I think 52 points. So you know that's a big.
To me those awards are stupid anyway. Like the player of the week. That's I mean that's what we talked sort of before we started recording. That means you've had a good three game stretch, like or four game stretch. Like that means nothing. Like you take more notice of when they say your player of the month for each conference. Like your player of the week means nothing. Like you know Eastern Conference player of the week could be Evan Fournier. Like you know, oh, he's averaging 28 points this week, and so that means nothing. That means he's had a good four games. Whoopie doo.
I totally agree. It shouldn't even be there. The player of the month is a good one. Like
consistency over 4 weeks.
Correct, but player of the week, yes, they may play two or three games, but
it means nothing.
It's just because they're on a good run, so. Exactly. Did you ever done it
week? You can give it to whoever they want. Like it's mean. They could have a good three game stretch. Oh, let's give them the player of the week. It's just that's a nothing award that I don't think anybody should pay any attention to whatsoever.
Do you have a done of the week before we move on?
No, I just I don't really sort of like the way that the Utah Jazz are sort of trending at the moment. You know, as of recording this, I think they're 12-10. They're not quite the juggernaut I think that everybody thought they were going to be. You know, Mike Conley's sort of been a little inconsistent. You know, but Bogdanovich has been great. You know, Bojan has been terrific. I think it's just taking a little while for sort of those two new starters coming into the side. Just taking a little while for them to sort of gel.
And
the thing is too, like you know, Donovan Mitchell's been. I don't know. I think he's been a little inefficient this year too.
Well, for a guy that was tipped to be, I guess in that, or at least in that probably MVP category race, his offense is going okay, but
it's okay. But he's only just shooting over 40% from the field.
Yeah,
it's like 41%.
His points, but then I'd also put it on Rudy Gobert. This is a guy that consistently seems to win Defensive Player of the Year, sure. But I don't think he's putting up the numbers that he usually does. You know,
no,
yeah,
it's, not offensively. I still think he's the standard bearer when it comes to defensive players. He's missed a couple of games this year too, so that's sort of that hasn't helped. It's only a couple of games, but they've got one of the better defenses in the league, it's their offenses that, or you know, their offense that I think that's sort of costing them, you know, close games, you know, clutch games. So yeah, Mitchell has to improve that field goal percentage, because if he goes and, you know, we just, I don't like, you know, as much as I love Carmelo Anthony, but as he got more stardom, more freedom with the team, he started to become a real ISO player, and his field goal numbers really started to tail off, and he's starting to become a bit of a volume shooter, and yeah. this could be the next generation's Carmelo Anthony.
I'd agree with that. Like, you know, exactly. If you look at Carmelo's starting season of when he was in the Knicks, like, he put up all those great numbers. Like,
he won a scoring title with the Knicks.
Yeah. And just like Donovan Mitchell starting his first couple of years, but you're right. Like, he tailed off. We're not in a league where I can't say where it's just about scoring. Because it's still scoring.
It is this year.
But yeah, it is this year. But there has to be a defensive element to it, you know. Especially if you're a guard, you can't just put up scoring numbers and not have, you know, great numbers in assists and even steals. You just can't. So.
Yeah, no, Carmelo Anthony ran Jeremy Lin out of town. He ran Lin Sanity out of town. Like, that's just. That's the only indictment I have on Carmelo Anthony. I love him.
Just
before we finish off, man, I don't usually sort of buy into fads and things like that. Man, I was all in on Linsanity.
Everybody was all in, man.
That 3 week month period was just out of this world.
It was out of this world.
And for it to happen at Madison Square Garden, it just accentuated it tenfold. He's supposedly playing really well over in China, so, you know, good on to, yeah, love Jeremy Lin, and that was one of the most exciting 3 to 4 week periods, you know, in the last 10 years of the NBA. I thought that was just, yeah, that was the most relevant the Knicks had been in a long time.
Well, that'll do it, I guess, for the NBA podcast. Don't forget to follow us on all the socials, SoundCloud, SoundCloud, Facebook, and Twitter. No, not Instagram. Yeah, it's one day. That's just too much
Instagram
to keep up
stupid.
On. But
yeah, I'll just come out and say it. Instagram stupid.
Well, depends who you talk to. Instagram. I guess you can get some followers, but like if anyone wants us on Instagram, let us know and we'll throw some stuff out there. I don't know what pictures we're going to put up, but we'll throw something out there.
Put some stuff out there. Yeah. But you do the same thing on Twitter.
Yeah, we could, but we've got to have people. The thing is, I think with Instagram is everybody's on Instagram compared to Twitter.
In this country, anyway. Twitter's not huge in this country. Yeah, Twitter's not big in this country.
No. Well, have a good week, everyone. My name is Jason.
Yes, my name is Miles, and let's all enjoy some more scoring explosions as the NBA just goes from strength to strength. Let's see some more 150 burgers next week.
Peace, everyone. 150.
Get them.